Welcome everyone to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
We got a whole lot. It's actually kind of random. We apologize for actually not being able to be on our Thursday show last week to cover AEW, Dynamite, and NXT, and also kind of going over NXT TakeOver. We had a lot of changes that were going on in our lives.
Yeah, I moved into a house. I am now a homeowner. Congratulations to me. I don't want to really rub it in the people that aren't.
I actually closed on the house that I was already renting to begin with and purchased. So
now we are. Yeah. Now me and Andrew both became full on homeowners this week.
In different locations,
obviously. We're not living together. But so we've just been busy with a lot of moving and paperwork and a bunch of red tape to get through that. So.
Plus I had to go and do some baby furniture shopping for my soon-to-be kid, my second one that's coming in December. So had to do some of that too.
Everybody in anywhere that you reach out to us, please congratulate Andrew.
I've already had my fair share of that already. I appreciate it though. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with just a couple of quick items that we wanted to discuss from AEW Dynamite before discussing AEW Rampage. And then we had a few other cleanup housekeeping items that we needed to go over of things that happened over the weekend. So first off, I just wanted to kind of talk about two promos really. The first being the Dark Order promo from AEW Dynamite. And the fact that you had Alex Reynolds actually stepping to Evil Uno and causing some friction over there, because it looks like there may be a split soon.
Yeah, which this looks like it's kind of sort of been happening for a couple of weeks ever since
Hangman.
Ever since the Hangman thing, where it seems to be Cabana, Grayson, and Uno are on the side of let Hangman do what Hangman wants to do. Don't help Hangman on that side, on Evil Uno's side, and then there's everybody else on the other side. But the last couple of weeks, Alex Reynolds has been sort of speaking up about that he's disagreeing with things, and he says, I like the line that he says, just because you have the number one in your name doesn't mean you're the leader of the Dark Order.
I like that too.
Yeah. So I really thought that was good. And I really like Alex Reynolds and John Silver. And, you know, there can't be two like tag teams called the Dark Order.
But you know what? I'm actually kind of interested in seeing. I'm wondering if they're going to end up splitting from the Dark Order. And I'm wondering if they're going to bring their whole Beaver Boys gimmick that they were doing in NYWC over.
They talked about that. They have, if you watch their the AEW Unrestricted podcast, the one that they're on, they go into detail about the Beaver Boys, and they're like, oh my god, I didn't think anyone was gonna bring that up.
I still remember Johnny Boy. Johnny Boy and Alex, man. And actually, I will actually just say this: congrats to Alex Reynolds also, because I know that he that his wife actually just had a baby too.
So
congratulations, Alex Reynolds. I mean I've seen them in NYWC for god knows how long, and I think we're gonna start adding that to our drinking game bingo of topics that we end up discussing on this show. But I followed them for a while when it came to NYWC. I've hung out with them at the bars afterwards and stuff like that. They're a bunch of, great guys. So I love that, love seeing that they're succeeding and doing so well in AEW. And, the fact that their Beaver Boys gimmick was so over in NYWC, And they, as a, their personalities between, you know, being the elite, you know, and, you know, all the YouTube shows that they've been on, and even the promos for, with the Dark Order, like, you see their personality shine. No offense to the rest of the Dark Order, above all of the members of the Dark Order.
Yeah, they are in, because they had, how the Dark Order got over originally, before they had all the segments where they were all together on BT, how it started, how they got the, started getting the gimmick over in the first place, was they were running around trying to recruit people like Sting, and they kept finding like Luther and being like, hey, it's Sting, and they'd go up to him and try to recruit him, and he'd yell at him, you know, and they try to recruit other people like Darby Allin, or like they kept trying to recruit Jungle Boy, but it was Griff Garrison. And every single time that he would say, hey, Jungle Boy, you want to join the Dark Order? He'd be like, my name's Griff Garrison. And he'd be like, who the F is Griff Garrison? You know, like, it's so funny. I love John Silver and Alex Reynolds. They are really funny.
And that, I would love, and that's why them. I want to see them break away from the Dark Order, because I
don't
think
know
that
if
they
they're
can
gonna
really...
I don't know if they'll use the Beaver Boys name, though, but they might do a similar gimmick or style.
That's what I'm
but
saying,
I think
is that they may end up going something similar.
Yeah,
I agree. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with it all. I'm looking forward to seeing what they do come up with, but I definitely want to see them break apart from the Dark Order, because I think that they're going to have a lot more success then.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know where some other people go if the Dark Order splits up. Like Uno and Grayson will be fine.
Well, they might keep them, but they might end up having them do a heel turn for that.
Because it seemed like, I know you don't always keep up. I mean, there's a million of them now. Now everybody does the vlog. I don't even keep up on all the ones that they do in AEW. But no, I do. I watch BT, which I don't even watch as much anymore. I only watch Sammy's vlog, because it actually is more interesting. And that's what they're trying to get over as the new BT. On there, he apologizes to Five and begs him to come back to BTE, and like sort of like apologizes to him and tries to, you know, smooth things over with him, and he accepts it. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're all breaking up, but just that Silver and Reynolds may be breaking away.
But and that's what I was kind of saying, is like, I honestly wouldn't mind seeing Dark Order break up, but the base being Uno and Grayson, even Cabana, staying on, but then doing a heel turn.
Yeah, I actually at first I did not get Cabana at all with the Dark Order, but
no,
now he just fits. Now he just fits. Now he's just one of the goofy. He's like the goofy dad, like, of the group that always says like the shoot comments in the background. Like, why are we doing this? That sounds stupid. Who booked this? Like,
oh,
love Cole Cabana. I love Cole Cabana.
All right, now switching into something else that's a little bit goofy is the fact that we're going to be having a fourth match between MJF and Chris Jericho.
Which seems kind of redundant.
That's why I said it's a bit goofy at this point, because, I mean, MJF has beaten Jericho three times, and Jericho has yet to beat MJF. So now they made the stipulation that, and Jericho was the one who initiated it, was he wanted one final match against MJF. And if he cannot beat MJF, Jericho will leave AEW. This match will be happening at All Out.
It's not, he won't technically, they revised it.
Of course they did.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, so what it is that he can't wrestle for AEW anymore. He is still able to do commentary, like, or some sort of backstage role. He's just unable to wrestle for AEW ever again. Which, I mean, is fine. It makes it a possibility that he may just retire and do commentary, and I'd be fine with him on Rampage every week with Excalibur.
Yeah, I mean, I know that he has another year left on his contract.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Also,
it's possible that he could lose, but I don't think that he will.
Yeah, exactly. Because of the point that you were making which the point that a lot of people are making is that they made a big deal. Like MJF made a 3-0 t-shirt. You know, like they made a point of like talking up that he beat him 3 times in a row. Like Jericho now has to get this win, or Jericho is just not only that's a terrible way for him to retire, or 4 losses in a row, mm-hmm. like basically to MJF. Like that's not,
I mean, how many times I'm all for like putting someone over.
Yeah.
But I mean, how many times are they're going to do this match again and again and again, but Jericho putting them over.
I mean, I think already the had, last match should had. Have been the last match. Yeah. I think that should have been the rubber. That should have been the final one. The third match should always be the final match.
In all honesty, look, well, it wouldn't even technically be a rubber match at that point.
Because MJF won the first
two. Right. But here's my point of it all. If they wanted to do something like this, that's fine. But first off, they should have done this a little bit sooner than, what is it, a week, 2 weeks before All Out to like have this done. What they should have done, it was exactly what I said last time, which is you could have had Jericho win and then MJF injure Jericho to take him out for a bit. Then you have him come back. Jericho has that one win. It's 2-1. And MJF can be like, you may have beaten me that one time. It was a fluke win. I've beaten you 2 other times and put you out on injury a couple times too. And then you could have had the blown off match where Jericho puts his career on the line in order to do it.
Yeah. Also, I think it should have just been with the 5 labors. I think you should have had 5 labors, not including MJF. And mm-hmm. then he should have faced MJF at All Out for the 6th labor. And that just should have been it. Whoever won that should have been the end of it. And Jericho actually should have won it. Or even if he did lose it, it would have been okay because he went through 5 other matches prior.
Get it. Yeah,
exactly. So it would have made sense either way for Jericho to go away like an MJF win, or him beat him up, like you say, after the match and then him go away for a little bit. I totally agree. That's the way that they should have went with it, but now it is what it is. That's what they're doing. So,
yep. All right. We're going to switch gears slightly. AEW Rampage. It was a decent show this past week. It wasn't great.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I just wanted to talk about the CM Punk mentioning Daniel Bryan in a promo. Yes. So people were doing yes chants. So CM Punk debuted on Dynamite, didn't really say much of anything different than he said on Rampage. So that wasn't like, it's not like it was a bad promo or anything like that. You know, it's just that it was basically the same stuff that he said on Rampage. And then people started doing the yes chant, and CM Punk being CM Punk doesn't like to ignore the crowd. So he goes, that guy, isn't here. I think you're going to have to be a little more patient. You know, he's like, I'm not that guy. So I think you're going to need to be a little more patient. The crowd was like, like they like freaked out. And then he started like losing the crowd a little bit because he ended his promo and then he grabbed the mic back and, said hello to his wife, AJ Lee at home. Yeah. So, formerly AJ Lee. So, that was just interesting to me. And now there's been reports that Daniel Bryan was supposed to debut.
He was supposed to be at the New York show, supposedly, but they're moving it up to All Out.
Yep. Because of the reaction that the CM Punk thing got, that the cat's kind of already out of the bag. And I think they're kind of worried about fans getting restless.
Yeah,
of not seeing him. So it makes sense. It's a smart move. And to be honest, thank you. I just want to see Daniel Bryan already. I want to see Bryan Danielson. Let's see Bryan Danielson.
Back to being Bryan Danielson.
Which is his real name anyway. Yeah. Like, Jesus.
I mean, I don't understand why WWE just never accepted that. Yeah. I mean, you called him Daniel Bryan. His name is Bryan Danielson. Like, why'd you have to go ahead and because he was an ROH guy?
Like he had They wanted to make it like he had two first names. Like, that wasn't even his last name. Like, Brian isn't even his last name, I feel like, in WWE. I feel like they think of it like he's like Bubba J or like Leroy Jenkins, you know, like he's like a double name, you know, guy where he has two first names. They could even call them Brian Daniels. Like, why couldn't they, if they wanted to shorten his name, they could have just called him Brian Daniels and it would have been fine.
They could have, but that whatever. That wouldn't be WWE, man.
Well, that ship is long sailed. It doesn't matter. American Dragon is coming back.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I can't wait. He has till 5 to come back. Do you know that gimmick? Do you know when he tells the ref that? It's when the ref counts 1, 2, 3
in the corner.
He gets up to 4 and then he grabs the ref's hand and he puts his hand in his face and he goes, "I have till 5. I love it. But so now we can move on to Rampage. Yep. I just wanted to mention that because it was a hot topic after the show.
Yeah, well, and speaking of after the shows, I mean, AEW Rampage had a quite the go home promo after the cameras turned off. I don't know if you saw that one.
No, I didn't. I don't know about this.
After Christian Cage and Kazarian get the win over Cutler and Omega, the show goes off the air. And CM Punk actually ends up coming out. And it's CM Punk, Christian Cage, and Kazarian all in the ring. And you got to go and check it out on YouTube because there's definitely a lot of F-bombs dropped down there. They basically were like really, you know, not ripping into each other. They were really given a lot of accolades and praise, but saying like, you know, it's damn good to see like Christian Cage, who had, you know, no one had known if he was ever going to wrestle again, come back, and he's been like outperforming everybody. And you had CM Punk, who, you know, no one knew if he was ever going to want to wrestle again. And now he's back and he's going to be wrestling and like basically just kind of putting them over quite a bit. And it was a good promo, kind of gives you like a little bit of the chills and, you know, and everything. I liked it.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, definitely go check it out on YouTube because it'll be worth it. So I already gave you the main event match was Christian Cage and Kazarian beating Brandon Cutler and Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega just ditched out on the match.
Of course, right. Yeah, and they even put over in commentary like that. Obviously, Brandon Cutler's the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. So I mean, here now. So I really didn't care too much about the match. It was an okay match. I feel like it wasn't the. I know they put it on as the main event because you have two world champions in that match, but in my opinion, that wasn't the main event.
Yeah, I agree.
And what was the main event? Obviously, Lucha Brothers getting the win over Jungle Express, Jurassic Express. Sorry,
it's all right. Close enough.
Yeah, no, I know. I think I went to go originally put Jungle Boy, and I put Jungle Express instead. But yeah, Lucha Brothers get an impressive win over Jurassic Express. This match by far should have been the closer of the show because this was just unbelievable.
This match was great. The crowd was really into it. Even I forget the basketball player they kept showing. I can't remember his name either. Yeah, but he was so, because I don't watch basketball, I apologize, but he was so hyped for Penta and Phoenix. Like, and they were like giving him like hand signs like to the crowd, and he was like, yeah man, get him. It was such a good match. You know, the Bucks, obviously, like they have been doing, came out and sat in their chairs. There was a lot of sick stuff in this match.
The match itself was just unbelievable, man. It was just
it was like nonstop, like
honestly, like I I could have done I could have done without the whole rest of this show.
Yeah,
and this, I'll be completely honest, this made the show. This was the only part of the show that I was super invested in, and I watched without having to fast forward through anything because we all know that I DVR everything to begin with. But it's the only thing that was on there that I didn't even like fast forward even the slightest bit because I was just like, I was so super into it. Yeah, I was super into it.
Yeah, I was like, I want this. Like literally, you know, when you get those Fight Forever chants, which they did get.
This was one match, that should have been. Yeah,
they did. They did get the Fight Forever chants. And it was amazing. I wish I was there to see it. I hope that when I go, which is coming up in God, a few weeks, like 2.5 weeks when I go to AEW, God, I hope Penta and Phoenix are on that show.
Well, that's the thing is Penta and Phoenix. First off, you put Penta and Phoenix against anybody and you're already in for a treat.
They and make the moves work. Even if they're even if the people they're wrestling against can't wrestle, they like do it for them. They like,
well, I think there was one point there. I think there was one point like a couple weeks ago where Phoenix had like he slipped a little bit and he was on the ropes and he fell. You could see that he fell. And I don't think it was one of those like staged ones.
Yeah.
And he like sat there. You could tell like he was hurting for like a second. Yeah. And then he got like right back up and then springboarded back up into the actual move.
Yeah, that he's crazy. The way that he just jumps up like 1 foot on the top rope, like at a time and just like walks across it.
When it's insane. That Hurricanrana off the top on Jungle Boy onto Luchasaurus, Penta, and Marco Stunt. I was floored by that because
And Jericho was like, have you ever seen anything like that before?
But here's the thing. It wasn't the move about the Hurricanrana itself, but like the setup for it. You see that them getting ready outside, and you just see Rey Fénix, like he tightrope walked that entire thing with ease. Like it wasn't him taking like small little strides. He walked that at a brisk pace, came right over, attacked Jungle Boy. The setup from him hitting the Hurricanrana, that was a little bit slower, but I think it's because he just wanted to make sure that where he was throwing Penta, when he was throwing Jungle Boy would have been where he's supposed to land.
And he walked up on the second rope with his feet on each side and like putting them like in the middle, and then he just stopped. And then he just hopped both feet up on the top rope. It was like the crazy. He does stuff like that all the time. But I mean, like, he's just amazing. And he continues to somehow innovate like all the time. And like that Hurricanrana, it is rare that you do ever see a Hurricanrana that's from the top rope going outside of the ring. Like people do it off the apron. People do it where they jump off the top rope and then hit someone with a Hurricanrana. People do it a lot of ways, but it's rare. I'm not saying it's never been done, but it's very rare because it's dangerous as hell. But Phoenix and Jungle Boy are pros and they're amazing. By the way, Jurassic Express's finisher, I think that's my favorite tandem finisher ever. The one where he throws like the guy into Jungle Boy while doing like a tilt-a-whirl like powerbomb. It's like crazy, like throws him in midair and he does like a flip into a powerbomb where he catches him. That is one of the sickest moves I've ever seen. And then obviously after the match, Lucha Brothers win. Very hard fought match, great match. And then afterwards, the Young Bucks and the Elite, you know, come in, you know,
They start attacking instantly. It wasn't even like anybody else. It was just the Young Bucks who were attacking the,
I think there was at least one other person, maybe Brandon Cutler.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so then I think Frankie Kazarian came out, didn't he?
No, with that one, Luchasaurus. Someone came out. No, Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy went right back.
Oh, yeah, they came back, and chased him off. Yeah, that's right.
So, and then the only other thing, what really was, so we had a CM Punk Darby Allin video package that they put together, which was okay. Miro coming out and destroying Fuego del Sol.
Yeah.
And then steals his mask before he, like, Mashka kicks him. And then this brings out Eddie Kingston, who looked like he was going to cut a promo, and said he just runs right out.
That was destroys. Awesome. That was also, I forgot about that. That's one of my little gems of the show, is Eddie Kingston is just so awesome. The way that he looked like he was going to say something, that was so perfect. Like somebody who's like so angry and they're about to say something. It looked so like genuine. Like he was like, nah, I'm just going to beat you up. And he threw the mic. Yeah, came right to the ring. They had a brawl, you know, and you know, the referees had to come and break them up. And I like the joke Jericho said, that he was like, the referee corps is lucky Aubrey Edwards is out there, otherwise they all would have got beat up.
Yep. All right, so then the only other match on this one was the Bunny getting the win over Ty Conti.
Oh, and
thanks to Penelope Ford,
which they're now, I guess, going to be sort of a team, I guess, or aligned going forward, which makes sense. Cause I happen to know off in real life, like outside of wrestling, that they are actually like best friends, not like WWE throw them in to a tag team best friends. Like they're actually best friends. Like,
yeah.
So it makes sense because Penelope hasn't really been doing anything because Kip's injured, and yeah, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely it.
I wonder when
Kip's actually coming back. That's the thing.
Soon, because he plays a lot of Twitch. He plays Call of Duty a lot, which I do. So I watch him on Twitch. He gives people updates sometimes. I think it's doing well, but like I think it's probably like 85%. Like he'll probably be able to come back. He probably might be cleared in a couple of weeks, but he just might not. They might not know exactly what they're doing with him yet.
It should be interesting to see what happens with it.
One thing I didn't like, though, about the match, it was an okay match, it was but you know, what I didn't like is that even after the Penelope Ford distraction, it just makes the Bunny look so weak that she also still had to use the brass knuckles, even though that she had the distraction. Like, why can't you just use your finishing move?
I wasn't a big fan of it either, but yeah, I mean,
that's the whole Blade. You know? Yeah, that's the whole her and Blade gimmick right now, and eventually it's gonna come to pass where, you know, Blade's gonna like not be able to use it or something, and he's gonna lose the match, and probably something's gonna happen because of it, but whatever.
All right, now switching gears really quick, we're gonna go ahead and cut to a few other items that happened over this weekend. So first off, a big congratulations goes out when it comes to NWA for putting on the first all women's pay-per-view that was produced by a woman.
Yes, Mickie James. So,
Mickie James did it, and she worked alongside, I think it was Gail Kim, Jazz, and I think somebody else too. And the four of those women put the whole show together. And it was I didn't get to actually watch the whole show. I caught a lot of it off of online, and it was really good. So a big congratulations to all of them. I know that they had a couple of tournaments in there crowning the first NWA women's tag team champions in Allison Kay and Marty Bell.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a good show.
I enjoy both of those women, and I think that no offense to NWA, but I feel like that one day they should get a much bigger spotlight.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've definitely been around on the indie circuits forever.
Oh yeah. So, and they were both an Impact.
Yep.
Yeah, for quite a while, but yeah, I think they could do better. They could move up in the world, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, they're but you got to figure NWA right now, they're building their women's division. NWA, yeah,
they're
really kind of
in a resurgence right now. They're trying to build it back up.
NWA didn't really have much of a women's division pretty much ever, really. I mean, I know that they had one like a long time ago, but they've never really had much of a women's division. So the fact that Mickie James is kind of leading this charge on what was already existing of their women's division, which was very small in comparison to all these other promotions.
It was basically one woman that would go fight other women at other promotions. Same as Nick Aldis was.
Well,
like the
no,
champion.
Not necessarily. I mean, you had Camille, you had Melina,
but Camille
was there.
Didn't even really wrestle until like, I don't know.
Only last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But you had Melina there. You had Thunder Rosa there. You had Serena Deeb there. So, I mean, there is definitely, you know, like they had a small women's division. And I know that they had like some other women's wrestlers too that weren't really as high profile or really showcased as much. So, I mean, this is to see this was just really extraordinary. And then you actually had on NWA Empower, you had the Impact Women's Champion, Deonna Purrazzo, successfully defending the title against Melina, which was a pretty good match. And then adding on to that at NWA 73, which happened last night, you had Mickie James taking on Kylie Rae. And after the match, after Mickie James got the win, Deonna Purrazzo now attacks Mickie James and hitting her with the Queen's Gambit.
Yep.
So it looks like that we're now going to eventually get a Mickie James Deonna Purrazzo match. Now, whether that's going to be an Impact for maybe, I guess, Bound for Glory, I think is coming up soon.
Yeah.
Or maybe they do another pay-per-view for NWA. I don't really know where they're going to go with it or which promotion they're going to showcase it on, but it's not the end of this cross promotion thing between NWA and Impact.
Oh, definitely not. Impact is actually very smart in trying to work with every company that they can just to try and get their name out there, which, you know, why not? You know, so I like it. I love the cross promotion stuff. It gives you a lot of matches that people never thought that they would see. So I'm always down for cross promotion.
Me too.
So.
I think it's what's best for the fans and best for business.
Yeah. Yeah. No pun intended on the WWE motto, but yeah, seriously.
Well, here's the thing is that every other promotion out there tries to actually give the fans what they want, except for WWE.
Yeah. Cause WWE is like, we have enough money. We can do what we want.
I mean, not for nothing, but look at what they're doing with NXT right now. And I'm not trying to get too far off topic, but you know, giving fans what they want, you're completely burying NXT, and that god awful new logo that they did looks like a 1980s like MTV like thing. It's so stupid.
I hate it. NXT the last 3 weeks has been like getting progressively worse. With all the different things they're doing, all the people they fired, all the people they moved up to the main roster and are ruining, all the people that, you know, they're now changing, you know, the direction of, you know, when they're really over, they're now not putting them on TV. Like, you know, it's like, it's ridiculous. They're showcasing all the things that NXT is not now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They want to get away from like the indie feel of wrestling.
But that's the thing is like NXT was your saving grace. It was your thing to keep fans in. It was something different than your normal product that not as many people watched, not your entire base fans watched it, just the hardcore fans. That's what was keeping those hardcore fans happy. Now the fact that you took that away, now we're all angry at you. And now
WWE's
going to
have no
problem.
WWE is going to have no viewership. Period.
Yeah. I'm telling you that Raw is definitely going below a million this year, like on like average. But I'm telling you, by the time December hits around, I guarantee you their Christmas show, which normally does low anyway, I bet you that gets like 900,000.
Probably.
Because, and I guarantee you AEW's, not that it's gonna, you know, skyrocket or anything like that, but I guarantee you it will slowly continue to rise from the people that leave watching WWE.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But let's get off harping on that. Yeah. And let's focus on what was good in the wrestling world. So again, a little bit of sad, but kind of almost expected also at NWA Empower. We had the retirement of Awesome Kong.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little sad to hear that she is retired, but I mean, she hasn't been part of any wrestling promotion since AEW first started again.
Yeah. Well, since Dynamite was on TV, she was
when
on
it first
Dynamite
started
in the beginning. Yeah.
That's what I said, when AEW first started.
Yeah. So since 2019, maybe like January, 2020. So yeah, it's been a couple of years now since she's done anything. Which, wow, that sounds weird to say, because I feel like AEW, like, I mean, I guess it's been around for a while now, but geez. But yeah, so it was great though that, you know, she got to be in the ring with Gail Kim. You know, she retired, you know, like in front of the fans, you know, in the ring, and Gail Kim cried and, you know, said some, you know, nice words about her and stuff. And because obviously that's her greatest rival. They're great friends.
I would say so, yeah.
That they say so, like, you know, because they had so many fights over the Knockouts Championship, you know, and Gail Kim was the first woman to beat her in the ring. So they both thank each other for their careers, honestly. And that's when the TNA women's division at the time was like the hottest thing going. It was way better than what WWE was putting on in the mid to late 2000s. So yeah, I said to see her go, but you know, everybody's got their time. It's not like she's gone. She's just retired. Doesn't mean that she can't show up somewhere one day. Doesn't mean that she can't, you know, maybe even produce for some women's matches for some company or something, you know? So whatever she ends up doing, you know, I wish her the best and, you know, good for her.
Yeah. Should be interesting to see.
Yep.
Also at NWA this past weekend, Ric Flair shows up at NWA 73.
Yep.
So that was another interesting one. Ric Flair's really just kind of he's making the rounds, I guess, you know, that he's done with WWE. I mean, he showed up at Triple A Mania.
Who doesn't want Ric Flair?
Yeah, and now he also showed up at NWA 73. This was by far, you know, again, this is the 73rd year anniversary of NWA. And Ric Flair goes out there and he cuts a promo. First off, you know, thanking his wife, thanking Triple H and Shawn Michaels, Taker, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince McMahon, all for picking him up when he was at his lowest points. And it's good that he still gives that kind of respect out to, you know, even events and everything like that.
Yeah.
But then he, you know, he goes on about how, you know, Ric Flair is back home. Like he made his name in NWA and he was there and putting over the younger talent, though, putting over the younger guys. Even after the main event, he puts over Trevor Murdoch and is just saying like how great these guys are. And this is what real wrestlers are all about. And it's just, it was great to see that out of somebody, you know?
Yeah. Especially from Ric Flair, that sometimes gets a bad rap for his mouth, sometimes getting him in trouble. He's really a good guy and he loves wrestling more than anything. And yeah, he just wants to see wrestling continue and succeed. I think he thinks of wrestling as, you know, like his legacy now in general to wrestling is what now he have, what a lot of older wrestlers end up doing, where their legacy is the younger generation, you know, what they can teach to keep the traditions alive, you know. So I love Ric Flair. He's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I mean, everyone knows he is one of, if not the greatest of all time. It's argued here and there, but you know, he's always in the discussion either way. I'm happy for Ric Flair. I'm happy he's making the rounds even at his age. And I hope, because Andrade seems to be trying to get him to manage him, like even like everywhere, you know, so we'll see maybe if he pops up in AEW down the line.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Not at
I
all.
Really would. I don't think he's going to manage Andrade there, but don't be surprised if you see Nature Boy show up in AEW eventually.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm really not. And if you really think that he won't show up there, then you don't know Flair.
I think he might be a good, like manager for somebody like MJF or something.
Nah.
Not that he needs one, but I mean, like, I'm trying to think of somebody that he could really elevate, but well, that's a discussion for another time, I guess.
I don't necessarily know if you're going to have him. I don't really think you can really have him as a manager for somebody.
Yeah, unless he comes for like a, you know, one-off like thing, yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, not for nothing, but you have Chavo. When it comes to for Andrade, I don't see them switching Chavo out for Rick. I don't.
Yeah, that's true. That's probably why it hasn't been done.
You have Tully taking care of the Pinnacle. So you're not going to go ahead.
But it would be amazing, though, to see Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair in a non-WWE ring on TNT. That would be a sight to see, just to see them like interact and like act like they're going to do something, like some old guys, and then like, and Ric Flair, like, you know, elbow his jacket and stuff. I'd love to see that as like a one-off. That'd be fantastic.
It would be. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. And then you also have Sting there too.
Yeah,
because it's not something that was ever really.
Yeah, Sting's technically. Yeah, Sting is
technically a member of the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, yeah, and that would be cool to watch them, like, even though it wouldn't work because of Tully Blanchard, but it'd be cool, like, if they faced off, like, sort of like the modern version that they tried to make of the Four Horsemen, the Pinnacle. You know, it'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
they,
you wouldn't see that happen. But
yeah, I know, but it's just an interesting thought, you know.
Yeah. All right. The final thing that I wanted to bring up really quick before we close out the show is NWA 73. I know we keep on going on about that, but NWA 73 had Nick Aldis finally get dethroned from the NWA championship. Trevor Murdoch, who put his career on the line against Aldis's title. It was career versus title match. And Trevor Murdoch, Nick Aldis, tore the house down in their match last night, with Trevor Murdoch getting the win, becoming the new NWA champion. Mind you, this title has not changed hands in probably what? 3-4 years at this point, because the last time that it changed hands, Cody Rhodes had won it from Nick Aldis, and then
Nick Aldis won it back a month later.
Exactly. Yeah. So you got to figure it's been 3 or 4 years since this title changed hands. And even before Cody Rhodes won it, Aldis had it for, I want to say it was another couple of years before that too.
Yeah. Yeah. He had it since he was the first champion and only champion. I'm pretty sure, like, at that point, like, since it restarted.
Yeah.
So yeah, because he was one of the big proponents of them bringing it back in the first place. And Trevor Murdoch, for those of you that don't know, quickly, anybody that watched WWE in like the mid 2000s would know that he was part of a tag team with a guy named Lance Cade. And, you know, they were former tag team champions. I believe they were the Raw tag team champions at least once.
The World tag team champions a couple times. Yeah.
Yep. So, they have always been pretty good. He's mostly been a heel. Whenever he was in WWE, he was a heel basically the entire time. And yeah, and then for those of you that haven't seen him since, you know, look at him now. He's the NWA world champion. So congratulations to him. And
yeah, big congrats. Yeah.
And I hope he has a good reign, and you know, I can't wait to see what they do with
lengthy
him.
Reign.
Yeah. Lengthy reign.
We don't need it to turn it around again in like a month.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, congrats to Trevor Murdoch on this win. And it honestly, their show this past weekend definitely had to get to gather some more interest when it comes to wrestling fans. We're looking forward to seeing it and seeing what they're going to come up with next. But that's it for right now. I mean, we're going to have to wait until see what the next NWA show comes up with. But for now, I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. And join us again tomorrow and find out what's on tap.